Marie Lu is an artist, a writer, and she's director of the Artery Gallery here in Milford in Pike County. And Marie seems to have an affinity for the celebrated American painter George Innes, who was born in 1825. In Pocono Living magazine, she's written, "George Innes focused his creative eye and brush on the Delaware Water Gap for many of his canvases, painting no other scene more often or for so many years. His life's work mirrored and influenced a cultural shift in taste from the prior century's European Romantic genre to landscape painting that depicted the dynamic, sublime, and awesome beauty of the American landscape. For over 15 years, the panoramic scene of Mount Tammany and Mount Mincy, bookending the Delaware River, became his template to express spiritual forces through the landscape, from light-drenched pastoral and agrarian scenes, approaching ominous storms, warm, peaceful sunsets, to serenely misty realms. Although the Gap's scenery was depicted by other painters such as Thomas Birch and engravings by Asher Durand, Granville Perkins, and Worthington Whitridge, and those prints appeared in popular travel books such as Picturesque America and American Landscape, Innes alone adopted the scene and returned to it over and over again, revealing its and his many moods. One early 20th century author remarked, "Innes brought a large vision and poetic insight to the interpretation of the casual, familiar scenes there, surprising beauty where others had found only suburban triviality. The despised hills of New Jersey and the undiscovered Delaware Valley took their place in our art with the Grand Canyon and Yosemite Valley. While the group of Hudson River School painters gravitated to the Catskills and Adirondacks for much of their inspiration, Innes would independently focus much of his attention on the Delaware River Valley instead. One such large painting, titled Delaware Water Gap 1861, now hangs prominently in the Metropolitan Museum of Art." That from an article by Marie Lu titled "George Innes, Painter of the Delaware" in Pocono Living magazine in 2022. To mark the 200th anniversary of the birth of George Innes this year, the Montclair Art Museum hosted a lecture titled "George Innes at 200, Legacy Landscapes, Fresh Visions," a legacy they contend still resonates today. And those are important phrases: legacy, landscapes, fresh visions. Today, the tradition of painting landscapes on the part of artists in our region, artists with fresh visions, continues right here, but certainly not just landscapes. The gallery at 530 Main in Stroudsburg has a roster of 300 regional artists, with more joining all the time. And the gallery at 530 Main is marking its first anniversary with a show that continues through February 14th, 2026. Jack Swersey is co-founder and committee member of the gallery, and we had a chance to speak with him by phone about the gallery at 530 Main and its story.
It all began shortly after the Pocono Arts Council decided to close their doors. That happened sometime in the spring of 2024. It was shortly after that I heard that the owner of the building where the Arts Council had been housed for a year and a half, 2 years, wanted to keep it as a gallery. So when I heard that, I reached out to them at the Sherman Theater. This was owned by the people who own the Sherman Theater. I reached out to them, and they liked the idea that I was willing to help. And we had a meeting, and we decided to form a small committee of, in this case, it's six people, and everybody's a volunteer. And we just went forward to starting the gallery, and we wanted to be open to all of our area artists. And we've been absolutely amazed at the response we've had, the amount of artists we've attracted, and the fact that we're always attracting new artists. I had no idea that there are so many artists in our area. I have an email list of local artists that exceeds 300. This is amazing. And every one of our shows so far has had between 100 and 120 artists in each show.
And I remember when we talked at the start, Jack, you were getting ready and you said you were going to volunteer on the weekends to gallery sit, and you had a couple others. Have you been able to maintain that level so the gallery's been open?
We actually have between 25 and 30 other artists and a couple of non-artists who have volunteered to gallery sit on the weekends. So we've always been able to fill the schedule. If we can't, I can always fill in. I don't mind. I enjoy being there. So, no, we haven't had any problems getting artists to do it. It's been actually amazing.
Now tell me, there's been something new that has taken place in terms of the Sherman Theater?
We're still part of the Sherman Theater, but the Sherman Theater and the whole operation is now being headed by the Pocono Mountain Visitors Bureau. They are the ones that basically the Sherman reports to now. And of course, we report to them as well. But the Sherman Theater and we are basically being headed by the Pocono Visitors Bureau, which is a great thing because the Pocono Mountain Visitors Bureau is all about promotion. And already they have been very, very helpful to us. There is a television commercial on the Pocono Television Network. The Visitors Bureau owns the Pocono Television Network, and they go out to actually about six or seven different states, and they have a commercial for us, which is great.
It's a win-win.
Oh, God, yeah, it's amazing. And the way I look at it, we did so well without their support, without the Visitor Bureau support. I can only imagine that we're going to do better in 2026.
Now, the question is, Jack, when you mention how many artists take place in the shows you've had over the last year, you must have a large space in which to hang a show.
Yeah, we do. The building has, we have three rooms and the hallway. And you know, I wish I could give you a square footage. I have no idea what that is, but there certainly has been enough wall space for 120 pieces of art. The thing is, in our anniversary show, I'm expecting between 120 and 150 pieces of art. So it'll be a challenge. You know, my wife, Jill Swersey, and Bob Moses, both of whom are on our committee, they set up the show. And it's a challenge for them at 120 artists. It's going to be more of a challenge if we surpass that. But they always have managed to do it.
Say somebody's new, let's just say somebody heard about, how do you do it? You put a call out for artists on the website, or how do you do that?
I started by going to the, when the Pocono Arts Council closed, their website remained open, running. So I was able to get all the artists, they had a list of artists who were members of the Arts Council. So I started with that. And I emailed out, and word of mouth, really, more than anything else. People heard about us and wanted to participate.
There would have been such a void if you all hadn't stepped in, right?
Yeah, I believe there would have been a void, although, you know, there could have been other people who might have filled that void. The timing for us was just perfect.
Do you have an organizational name, or is it your gallery name that describes who you are and how people find you?
Well, we just call ourselves the Gallery of 530 Main. And, you know, most of my communication with the outside world about the gallery is through social media. We have a Facebook page, simply the Gallery at 530 Main. We're also working on an Instagram page. So, you know, there's been a lot of yelling out through social media. And, of course, people like yourself who have given us the opportunity to be heard, you know, have helped us immensely. And we thank you for that.
Of course, we're so excited about what's going on and that you're discovering new friends as you go along. You want, of course, the stalwarts to be with you always. How about young artists? Are you seeing young artists as well, Jack?
Yes. Yes, and we want more young artists, and I love the artwork that young artists create because it's not quite as typical as what us old folks like to do. You know, so there is some amazing young artists, and we've gotten a lot of college kids from ESU participating, and we always encourage young artists to join us. In fact, once a year we have a student show for the local high schools. And when we do that, we also reach out to the kids in the high schools who may want to participate on a regular basis in our gallery. And I have to tell you, I was a little disappointed last time because many of those young artists I reached out to never really responded. But then again, you know, they're high school kids and they have their own life right now. And perhaps they're just not ready to be involved in a professional gallery. We do encourage it and we want more of that because the future is them, not us.
When you're talking about the Pocono Mountain Visitors Bureau, you're talking about tourists. So you're getting both locals and you're getting people who are coming to the area and they get excited by what the opportunities are in the Poconos, including your Gallery 530 at Main.
Yeah, and the Pocono Visitors Bureau, their goal right now is to turn Stroudsburg and the Poconos into a entertainment destination. So we're part of that.
Jack Swerzy, co-founder and steering committee member of the gallery at 530 Main in Stroudsburg, speaking with us at the time of the opening of the gallery's first anniversary exhibition. That show continues into the middle of February, and artist Liz Tilley stopped in at the WVIA studios. She's also a member of the steering committee, and we asked her to carry the story forward.
The current anniversary show that we have right now, we have 125 artists, and the sales have been phenomenal. The response has been phenomenal, so we're very pleased with it.
What did you enter in this show?
I did a mixed media piece. It's an oil portrait of a quite ancient woman, like a crone, I guess, and I used African Dutch batik fabric to create clothing for her and a star. And I used a lot of gilt, and I'm really excited about it. I love it. And it has led me to think that I'd like to do a series because I have two other canvases the same size to do the mother, the maiden, and the crone. I don't know where I'll ever have the opportunity to show them all together, but there is a women's history show coming in March that we always do at the Middle Smithfield Library and Community Room that I'll be taking part in. So maybe I'll be able to maybe just take the crone out when this show ends at Gallery 530 and put it there. But maybe down the road, I'll be able to show all three of them together there.
And when you say canvases of the same size, what size is that?
Well, we are restricted to 36-inch width at the gallery at 530, so it's 36-inch width. I always push the limit because I like to paint large, you know. So it's 36 by 48.
How much longer do we have for the show then?
It ends on Valentine's Day, and then we'll be opening the student show. It's for Monroe County students, grades 9 through 12. It's the second time we've done it. Sarah Collier at the Sherman Theater, she's the events person. She's sort of managing it with some other, like Sue Randall, who was the Arts Council president years ago, and other people have done it before and know the teachers. And actually, our education department also put out a call to the Monroe County teachers they know. And so the opening reception is Saturday, February 21st from 1 to 4. The drop-off is February 17th and 18th, Tuesday and Wednesday, from 2:30 to 5:30. So you can just come on those days and bring your work. There are awards. There's a best of each category, 2D, 3D, digital media, best of show, and spectator's choice. So everybody who comes to see the show can cast a vote for their favorite. And the winner will be announced and notified by February 24th. Again, can't be any bigger than 36 inches, only one work per student. It has to be original and created solely by the student. And digital media is good too. So we're excited to see what comes in for that. There's often really great work that rivals the pros, really. kids, and we really hope that, you know, they'll come and their parents will come and bring their friends and relatives, because they should be proud of it. I would have been at that age very excited, and so we do hope they will participate fully.
The committee of which you're a part for the gallery at 530 Main wants to project into the future so artists know what's coming up and can be prepared.
Yes, and we just had a meeting to really firm that up, and a call will go out soon with that kind of information, but I'd love to share it with you now. The next one after the student show would be opening March 14th, which will be here before you know it. And we're calling that the Unreal Show. And may I explain what that means? In order to do that, I think I have to explain what is actually realism. And that's an art movement that began in the 19th century where artists sought to portray everyday subjects in a natural and realistic style. Artists rendered people, landscapes, and other scenes as realistically as possible using perspective and natural colors. Today, realism may include, for example, photorealism, which a lot of people seem to really get excited about. I had a friend in Binghamton, Anthony Brunelli, who's in a Soho gallery that's all photorealists, and Brian Booth Craig is a sculptor that's also part of the Louis Mizell gallery that it's all about photorealism, and it's mind-blowing. But with the advent of photography, artists rejected naturalism and started to use distortion of perspective, color, and form to create works with more expressive, emotional, and symbolic meaning. And that would include like Van Gogh, Cezanne, Matisse. And then artists of the 20th century like Picasso and Dali got into cubism. We call cubism and surrealism German expressionists, abstractionists, non-objective artists, you know, took off with all that. So unreal can be described as art which is created with any kind of distortion of reality. While it can include recognizable objects or settings, the subjects are rendered with unnaturalistic colors, forms, or unrealistic contexts. Or they may be simply compositions of form, color, line, and value. So the Unreal Exhibition is an opportunity for expressionistic, non-objective, and abstract artists to shine, and for realists and naturalists to stretch their creative muscles beyond their comfort zone. So we're not sure, you know, we don't have a lot of abstract artists showing with us currently. So it'll be interesting to see what comes of that. And then we'll be doing a spring show, which is open to anything that you want. Obviously, people will do a lot of flowers and landscapes, which is always popular. And then that'll run May 2nd through June 27th. And then July 11th, we'll be doing an Americana show. And that's July 11th through August 29th. We did have a little discussion about what direction that might go in, and we don't want to make any directives about it. It's completely open to any perspective of what you feel is Americana. And then we'll be doing an animal show on September 12th. Through October 31st. That was our most popular show last year, and we had environmentalists outside with an owl for people to observe and talk to and interact with, and we'll probably do something like that again. And then in November the 7th, we'll be opening the small canvas show, which I just won't be able to participate in that part of it, but because we won't be taking up as much room with each piece, we decided we would do a fiber show with it because we have a number of fiber artists and we'd like to encourage and show that more. And we have an artist that regularly shows with us who does felting work. And she volunteered, her name is Linda Schwartz, volunteered to organize a yarn bombing of the front of the building. So that's going to be really fun. And that will end in December 5th, and then we'll have our second anniversary show on December 12th.
And there's another story that you have to tell about Monroe County activity is...
Yes, well, you know, everyone's anticipating the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. And our Monroe County Historical Association is unveiling a new building. They've been closed for quite some time. The Stroud Mansion was built in 1795, and that has been their home, and they needed a bigger, newer expansion to, you know, improve facilities, and they're going to unveil that in the spring. And as part of that, they've put out a Stars and Stitches Forever quilt challenge, and that's because quilts are part of our country's history. They've been made to keep people warm and feed their soul and artistic expression in ways that people had to hand, you know, in materials they had at hand. And they had practical but also, you know, artistic value. And they have decided to put out a call for quilters to interpret their journey or their family's journey of migration or immigration to America, and especially to the area known as Monroe County. And that's just their way of reflecting on the past and honoring the contributions of all the people of Monroe County and looking ahead to a shared future. And they're more like, they're not full-size quilts. They're 30 by 30 is the limitation. So it's more of a wall-hanging type thing. But I'm pretty excited about what I have in mind. And there'll be all kinds of points of view there.
When is the deadline for submission?
So they're due the end of February, the 27th. And they'll be exhibited in the new Heritage Center from April 1st through July 31st. And you can just visit monroehistorical.org/250PA to get the complete instructions and the entry form.
Artist Liz Tilley, member of the steering committee of the gallery at 530 Main in Stroudsburg and corporate sponsorship representative at WVIA, speaking with us about the current show and still-to-come exhibitions at the gallery at 530 Main. The first anniversary show will continue until February 14th. For more information, shermantheater.com, shermantheater.com, T-H-E-A-T-E-R. And Liz also introduced us to the Stars and Stitches Forever Quilt Challenge, hosted by the Monroe County Historical Association. Quilts, as she said, are due by February 27th. For more information, monroehistorical.org, monroehistorical.org.